Harper Audio presents Darkness Take My Hand by Dennis Lehane. Performed by Jonathan Davis. When I was a kid, my father took me up on the roof of a freshly burned building. He'd been giving me a tour of the firehouse when the call came in, and I got to ride beside him in the front seat of the fire engine, thrilled to the feel of it turning corners as its back half buckled and the sirens rang and the smoke poured blue and black and thick ahead of us. An hour after they'd doused the flames, once my hair had been ruffled by his fellow firemen a dozen times, and I'd been fed my limit of street vendor hot dogs as I sat in the curb and watched them work, my father came and took my hand and led me up the fire escape. Oily wisps of smoke curled into our hair and caressed the brick as we climbed. And through broken windows I could see charred, gutted floors. Gaps in the ceiling rained dirty water. I was terrified of that building, and my father had to pick me up when he stepped out on the roof. "Patrick," he whispered as we walked across the tar paper. "It's okay. Don't you see?" I looked out and saw the city rising steel blue and yellow beyond the stretch of neighborhood. I could smell the heat and damage below me. "Don't you see?" my father repeated. "It's safe here. We stopped the fire in the low floors. It can't reach us up here. If you stop it at its base, it can't rise." He smoothed my hair and kissed my cheek. And I trembled. Prologue. Christmas Eve, 6:15 p.m. 3 days ago, on the first official night of winter, a guy I grew up with, Eddie Brewer, was one of four people shot in a convenience store. Robbery was not a motive. The shooter, James Fahey, had recently broken up with his girlfriend, Laura Stiles, who was a cashier on the 4-12 shift. At 11:15, as Eddie Brewer filled a styrofoam cup with ice and Sprite, James Fahey walked through the door and shot Laura Stiles once in the face and twice in the heart. Then he shot Eddie Brewer once in the head and walked down the frozen food aisle and found an elderly Vietnamese couple huddling in the dairy section. Two bullets each for them, and James Fahey decided his work was complete. He walked out to his car, sat behind the wheel, and taped the restraining order Laura Stiles and her family had successfully filed against him to the rearview mirror. Then he tied one of Laura's bras around his head, took a pull from a bottle of Jack Daniels, and fired a bullet into his mouth. James Fahey and Laura Stiles were pronounced dead at the scene. The elderly Vietnamese man died en route to Kearney Hospital, his wife a few hours later. Eddie Brewer, however, lies in a coma. And while doctors say his prognosis isn't good, they also admit his continued existence is all but miraculous. The press have been giving that description a lot of play lately, because Eddie Brewer, never anything close to a saint when we were growing up, is a priest. He'd been out jogging the night he was shot, dressed in thermals and sweats, so Fahey didn't know his vocation, though I doubt it would have mattered much. But the press, sensing both a nostalgia for religion so close to the holidays and a fresh spin on an old story, played his priesthood for all it was worth. TV commentators and print editorialists have likened Eddie Brewer's random shooting to a sign of the apocalypse, and around-the-clock vigils have been held at his parish in Lower Mills and outside the Kearney. Eddie Brewer, an obscure cleric and a completely unassuming man, is heading for martyrdom, whether he lives or not. None of this has anything to do with the nightmare that descended on my life and that of several others in this city 2 months ago. A nightmare that left me with wounds the doctors say have healed as well as can be expected, even though my right hand has yet to regain most of its feeling, and the scars on my face sometimes burn under the beard I've grown. No, a priest getting shot and the serial killer who entered my life and the latest ethnic cleansing being wrought in a former Soviet republic, or the man who shot up an abortion clinic not far from here, or another serial killer who's killed 10 in Utah and is yet to be caught. None of it is connected. But sometimes it feels like it is. As if somewhere there's a thread to all these events, all these random, arbitrary violences. And that if we can just figure out where that thread begins, we can pull on it, unravel everything, make sense of it.